For as long as you want.
Mic check.
Mic, right.
There's a little mic check.
Check one, two. Is it on?
There is a dog hair on your...
Oh,
good. Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to the injury report.
Oh, you guys caught us in the middle of mic check.
Oh, we didn't see you there.
Wow, we were doing a professional thing called mic check, where you make sure that both of your mics are working, which we were doing because we're professionals.
Right. That's kind of a secret of the industry that the layman might not know, but we do.
And we're letting you in to it.
You're welcome.
We're not gatekeeping.
We're not gatekeepers at Injury Report. Thank you very much.
Yes. Welcome to Injury Report.
Welcome to Injury Report. We like to say we're the minor pain podcast that's a major pleasure.
We like to say that.
And that is Amelia.
This is Amelia right here. The person that came up with that little tagline, though, that would be Maria.
And that's
over there.
Me, way over here.
Yeah. If you could see us, which one day once this pod skyrockets, skyrockets to the stratosphere, we're going to have a visual component.
One day.
So people can watch us mic check as well as hear us mic check.
Yeah. Because you have a lovely face. And frankly, we're robbing people of it now.
Wait. Did you say that I have a lovely face?
You have a lovely face.
We have a lovely face.
Oh,
did you say we have lovely faces?
I said
faces?
You.
Okay, Maria.
Amelia.
We have lovely faces.
That's sweet. We don't have one face, but we do individually. We both have a face.
Each of us individually, each separate face that we each only have one face. Yeah. I don't want to confuse people. That we're like a Professor Quirrell type situation going on.
Is that Harry Potter?
That's a Harry Potter reference.
Nice.
That's a,
I couldn't remember.
That's a first book. That's a
way back.
That's a Sorcerer's Stone reference.
I have this really weird memory of my cousin's friend growing up was like obsessed with Scattergories. Do you know that game?
I also am obsessed with Scattergories.
Okay, you and Kelly.
Oh my God, Kelly!
And there was a time that they were just sitting in their living room, and like Kelly, out loud under her breath, was like, "Sorcerer's Stone."
And that's a double S, by the way.
Exactly.
The
that's what she's doing. Yeah. Brittany was like, "What are you doing?" And she was like, "I was thinking of like Scattergories, like things that are round, and that would count for double points." So there you go. Shout out to Kelly.
Kelly Scattergories Maven. I would not want to be playing on the other side of her. Although she would challenge me to get better at Scattergories.
That's how you grow.
She would raise the bar.
Amelia, since we're here at Injury Report, I would love to hear the ways you have physically or emotionally hurt yourself the past couple of weeks.
Well, the past fortnight.
The past fortnight.
We measure this pod in fortnights, as we established in the episode previous. So, I'll start with physical.
Sure.
Work our way deeper into it. Start surface level physical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And work our way in.
And the injury that I want to discuss is a surface level injury. Okay.
Okay.
I want to talk about my fingertips.
Got it.
Okay.
Hot.
I want to talk about cuticles.
Okay.
Okay. And how I go at those bitches.
With your teeth?
With my teeth.
Wow.
So I used to be a nail biter. I would bite my nails a lot. But I also grind my teeth, speaking of self-injury. And my teeth got so ground up that when I bite my nails, I couldn't really get, like, a firm grip on the nail biting. Yeah. So now my nails, I only do with nail clippers, but I can still go at my cuticles. I still bite my cuticles.
I find it amazing you could bite your cuticles because it's just in the middle there.
No, the cuticles are, like, all around. Like, just all the...
Oh, so you do...
Yeah, just all the skin around the nail. I'm biting at that guy.
That is interesting.
Guys.
But not the nail itself.
No, because the nail is too much for these teeth. I really hate that dental is separate from health.
I know. Don't get me started. Ugh.
Because I will always need, like, dentist help. Because I grind my teeth. I'm, like, doing stuff with my teeth I shouldn't be. Like, you know, sometimes opening stuff with my teeth. You know, I shouldn't be.
Oh, don't do that.
I shouldn't be doing it. They're not a tool, but they are.
Hey, we don't shame you here at the Injury Report. If that's your thing, you want to open things with your teeth, fine.
Right. Though it's like, will the Injury Report supplement my dental bills?
Interesting.
Maybe at some
point. I don't
know.
Maybe one day. I'm also a big dental bill girly right now. So.
Oh, what's going on with your... Sucks. Oh, didn't you tell me that you recently had, like, cavities?
Yeah. I went to the dentist for the first time in, like, 2 years. I didn't go because I wasn't having any problems, and I switched to new insurance and blah, blah, blah. So I went... This odyssey started maybe, like, 6 months ago. I went for the first time, and they were like, you have 6 cavities. Which sounded shocking to me.
That'll bowl anyone over.
It really did. It did bowl me over. I felt bowled. And and they're on different sides of my teeth, different sides of my mouth. So in one appointment, I got three filled, but then one of them was so big that it had to turn into a root canal.
And what then did they find out in the moment that it was a root canal situation?
No, she said beforehand, it's so big, it might become a root canal. And then it did. So then I had to go back a bunch more times, and they put a temporary filling, then a temporary crown, then a permanent crown, but with temporary cement. I've gone, like seriously, like 7 times, and I still have, like, 3 more appointments.
For other cavities that have not yet been filled?
Yes. The other 3 on the other side of my mouth have not been filled.
Dude, my parents scared the living daylights out of me about the concept of a root canal. They told me it would be the most painful thing I'd ever endured.
Damn.
Did you do, like, full anesthesia? Did they put you out? Did they put you asleep?
No. They used anesthesia, what's it called? They used...
Numbing.
Solution. Novocaine.
Novocaine.
They used Novocaine, but I wasn't out. It wasn't painful at all. It was fine. I don't know why people say that.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
Growing up, the fear of God was put into me that I would ever have to have root canal because... But now I think I've not dredged up those memories in a long time. But it's interesting how that, because it's like, never once did I ever go, but what about Novocaine?
Yeah.
Don't they literally have things so that you don't feel it?
Mm-hmm.
I've been afraid of root canal all these years.
Well, it's also possible time has passed. You know, maybe when that fear formed.
No, Novocaine's been around, dude. No.
Okay.
Green Day wrote a song called Give Me Novocaine back in 2003. Mm. Okay, I know that because it was on American Idiot. That album changed my life.
Great album.
Excellent. I mean, it really changed the narrative.
Damn.
At the time.
That's sick. I bet that's actually exactly what they wanted, for real.
Well, because they spoke what a generation was feeling. Let's not forget, that was the first Bush administration, okay? We were more than halfway through the Bush administration, and they said, don't want to be an American idiot. That was... Remember that time?
Now look where we are.
Look at how...
They fixed it. Thank God they said something.
They changed things, Maria. They really did. Things are never the same after.
No, but they did. They did. They had an impact. I didn't mean to shade it.
Well, you know... Who was elected after that first Bush administration? Bush again. It was actually Bush one more time.
After that second one, Barry O.
And then it was Barry O twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Donald Trump. Then it was Joey Biden. Then right now it's Donald Trump.
What I like about this podcast is we like to give people kind of a little history lesson.
Right. We like to do a lot of research going into these episodes.
Yeah, I'm pulling up my notes right here. Right. And yeah, after the second Bush administration, it was very little known.
That's right. That Bush administration was actually elected twice in a row.
Son of a bitch. And people forget that. Namely me just now.
I will say, though, the second time Bush was elected was my first major political disillusionment as a kid.
Yeah.
That was 2004, so I was 13 at that time. And okay. I remember the first Bush administration going so poorly. Mm-hmm. Or just in my liberal community, everyone talking such shit about George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, you know, Iraq War. And I remember thinking, oh... No way this guy, you know, just literally my little 13-year-old mind, and American Idiot had come out, you know, the cultural conversation was anti-Bush. And then we elected Bush again, and it rocked my shit at 13. I was like, oh, the world is, I don't know what's going on in the world. Like, I really was sure, if with everything I knew, my community, and then he gets elected again, and that's why I wasn't even shocked that Trump got, I mean, I'm telling you, when Bush was elected a second time, it fucked me for moving forward. I was so sure there was no way. Because I was like, everyone says he's stupid, right? And he looks stupid. He's speaking stupid. Like, he can't talk. Like, he did these wars nobody likes. Like, everybody's upset around me in my life. In my liberal metropolis of Los Angeles suburbs, nobody here likes him. So obviously he's not going to win again. And then...
Yeah.
That he did.
I so feel that. I had a different experience because I was, you said 2004, so I would have been 8 that year.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember that as much, but my moment for that, because I, then through those years, those ages for me, that was very, a really hopeful time.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
then
yeah.
I was in college, my second year of college at Indiana University. Go Hoosiers.
Go Sirs, by the way.
Go Sirs!
Go Sirs! I'm rooting for them now.
Are they still... I don't know anything about basketball. Are they still going?
Oh, girl. They're in the finals. They're up 1-0 against the Thunder. They won the first game in... A buzzer beater.
Let's go.
Hallie. Go Hallie. Hallie Burton. Tyrese Hallie Burton. Everybody.
Girl, you get it. You get it.
I do.
I love the idea that they're winning. I just don't know anything about it. But yeah. I'm excited.
You're riding the vibes.
Yeah.
The vibes from afar.
I really do like the idea of like Indiana basketball. That was good growing up. So I like when it's like in the news and stuff.
Well, you got Caitlin Clark on your WNBA team.
The Fever.
Yes.
Indiana Fever, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
We love Caitlin Clark. I do know who she is.
Yeah, there you go.
And she's great.
She is.
No,
but you were 8 years old.
I was 8 years old.
At the time.
So I missed a lot of that, and then I grew up during a very hopeful time, and then IU is such a very, or at least it was, times have actually changed there, unfortunately. But IU was such a huge liberal place where Donald Trump was the laughing stock. And we all remember this. We all went through like a version of this. But
yeah.
There was no chance in my freshman and then sophomore year brain that he could win. And so I think I went through that period later in life that you're talking about
where I was suddenly disillusioned. Oh, when the first Trump win?
Yeah,
I was not shocked by his reelection. The first one, I was shocked as hell. After we reelected Bush, yes, Trump could get reelected. But no, the election period of Trump, I really was one of those like liberals who was like, there's just no way. Like, I fully went into that day going, first female president, ho, baby, we're gonna do, like, there's no, obviously, there's no way
there's no chance.
In my head, it was just like, and by the way, if you were reading 537 at the time, Nate Silver had us all believing it was 75% gonna go to Hillary. Like, you know, there was a lot of reasons. Well, from outlets that we trusted that really made us feel like there was no way for Trump to win.
Yeah.
And then that shit rocked me. And I remember waking up the next day after Trump being elected the first time.
Yep.
Never being more aware that I was a woman.
Yeah.
You know, like walking out there and going, oh, like people don't.
Misogyny is real.
It's very...
It's like, in everyday life. It's affecting me and I don't even know it.
Right. I was never more aware of how I was being perceived. Like, just as a woman. Just like the rejection of her in favor of him. You know, it just felt very like, oh, shit. You know? And I remember waking up that day going like, wait, we're going to do work today? Like, society's going to go on? Like, we're all just going to go to work today? I was like waiting for an email that everything's canceled, you know?
Yeah. No, my first English class the next day, she did cancel it. And then later that day I had an international studies class and I had this brilliant professor I was obsessed with and I knew he wouldn't cancel. And he actually, nerdy reveal. I was upset as everybody
else.
So nerdy reveal, I emailed this professor I was obsessed with and I was like, hey, don't cancel class today because I need some sort of
like
from someone smart. And so when he showed up to class, he had clearly, this was probably like a 55-year-old man in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up to class and he looked like he'd been like drinking all night. Like he looked sick.
Yeah.
And he had big bags under his eyes and
he looked like shit.
Yeah,
probably was drinking all night.
We all should have been.
Right. I did. I barfed that night.
Out of emotion or out of alcohol?
Alcohol, but also a lot of shawarma. Like my family, had like an election watch party, and I remember I had too much whiskey, and then I kind of like blackout, ate a lot of shawarma, like saw Trump walking up to the podium to do the victory speech.
Oh,
literally,
God.
I couldn't witness it, and I just literally walked into another room, fell asleep on the couch, like, immediately, woke up 2 hours later, barfed up all the shawarma.
Oh, no.
And then I walked up to my parents' room and was like, God, it was like living in a dream. It was like, did it really happen? Is that real? And they're like, yes, honey. Like,
what an awful memory.
Wait, so sorry, finish your story. I kind of just like.
No, you're fine. It was awful for everyone, I think. It's so funny how everybody like remembers where they were and what they did that day, because I do too. It's so weird.
Yeah. Wait, and so how was the class? Like, was it, like, how did he be, did he go, I know how I look, or like.
I don't remember him saying that, but we had, like, his thing was always, like, healthy debate and, like, let's talk. And nobody in that class was going to be openly pro-Trump at such a liberal campus, but you know, we had a discussion where people were raising their hands and talking about, like, what this means and, like, how did this happen? And so it was comforting because I'm in a room full of people that, you know, I don't feel crazy. Like, I'm in a room full of people where we all have similar, like, understandings of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was horrible.
It probably would have felt really hard on that day to hear anyone going, well, I'm really happy. You know, like, like, yes, one day, not today. I need a room full of like-minded individuals today.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I remember at my job, it was like, I did go to work because nobody said, don't go to work, you know? And traffic sucked that. I mean, just it was so weird that day. Mm-hmm. And I just remember everyone walking through the door at work, just kind of like glassy-eyed, just like making eye contact, just like, like, what we're going to say, we're going to talk. Like, we all know what we're thinking and how do we say it? Because it was just like, everybody just was dazed. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody in my liberal community, you know, circle. I mean, I grew up such a West Coast lib.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, these are the people among all people who were like, we did not see this coming.
Right.
Whereas, like, you know, I had stand-up friends, you know, from, like, Indiana who were like, this guy is gonna... Who had been... Yeah. who had been saying, and they were pissing me off every time they'd say it. They're like, this guy could win. And I'm like, don't even say that. You're just trying to upset me. Like, this is stupid. You know, whatever. And then...
Everything fucking sucks, dude.
everything does blow, but... And yet you can find joy. But we're talking about injuries today.
The most joyful
thing. But we're saying, but yeah, just so just to really bring it back around to the fact that I bite my cuticles. Okay, here's why I think I bite my cuticles. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
Is because my cuticles naturally peel. Mm-hmm. You know, like some people just have like nice cuticles that don't do that. No, I'm not, you're not looking at them. Don't you dare look at
my
disgusting
face.
No, they look disgusting actually, and they're quite red.
Okay.
And I'm always accidentally making my fingertips bleed. Well, I know I'm not alone, but your fingertips look actually beautiful, and so you can't look at my fingers. But it's because my cuticles peel, and I, like, I guess maybe I have, like, a perfectionist, like, everything needs to be clean kind of thing. So it's like, if there's, like, some skin that's up, I'm like, gotta get that off.
Mm. And then there's a little bit more coming
off. And there's more than you realize. And then before you know it, you're peeling off stuff that's not trying to get peeled off. And then you're bleeding. And then you gotta get a napkin or a Band-Aid and wrap around it. And it's so, by the way, cumbersome to have a Band-Aid around the tip of your finger. Because your tip of your fingers are getting into shit all the time. Right.
I wash my hands 100 times a day. You can't keep a Band-Aid on these guys.
Oh, my
things.
God. How do you do a Band-Aid and wash your hands? How do you do a Band-Aid and take a shower? How do you do a Band-Aid and prepare a meal for yourself? You can't, actually.
Frankly, you should be on 8 weeks of bed rest. That's what I think.
That's about how long it takes to heal. Speaking of healing, I'm just going to say this really quick, and we can get back to injury.
No, no.
But we're all... And I know I'm not the first... to make this point, probably.
I can't wait to hear what you're going to say.
It's going to be so down the middle, and you've already probably thought it yourself.
No.
But we're all low-key Wolverine.
We're all low-key Wolverine, the comic book
hero? The comic book hero, yes.
Hugh Jackman?
Because, Wolverine, played by Hugh Jackman, most notably. But I think there's been other Wolverines, maybe. I'm pulling this out of my ass. This is fully based on just a gut feeling that there's...
Sure.
Wolverine's been around a long time, so... And then Hugh Jackman only started playing him in the early aughts, you know, so there's gotta have been... Or maybe not, okay?
We don't know. And we will not look it up.
We refuse... But one of Wolverine's major powers is that, what? He can heal himself.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
That's one of his big things. Now, he can, you know, have a big cut and heal it up within 5 seconds.
Really?
But all of us heal back up, and it's insane.
Because we heal ourselves?
We heal ourselves. Our body heals ourselves. Like, any cut that I get, give me a week and it'll be not there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's everybody. That's not even just me. I'm not even gassing myself up. I'm just
gassing up the human body. I think that's sick that you do that, Amelia. No, for real, for real.
And let me tell you how I do it. I'm not even aware of it, Maria. I do it unconsciously. My body just does it.
That's awesome.
But like literally, your doctor will set your leg, if it's broken, it'll heal up on its own. Takes longer than Wolverine. So that's why I'm saying we're all low-key Wolverine. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay.
That's really beautiful.
And it's true.
It makes me think of in Spider-Man how there's that lizard. Are you a Spider-Man fan? You are. You're the Tobey Maguire
girl,
guy.
Girl, first of all, yes. Second of all, that's going to be my opening joke tonight.
Spider-Man?
I'm going to do a joke about Spider-Man.
Amelia tonight is on the... We record these a little ahead of time. And Amelia is on the Queer AF show tonight doing 10 minutes
at
of stand-up.
At Conservatory, I'm going to be doing stand-up. And it's just so funny that you bring up Spider-Man right now because I've been going over that bit in my head all week and I've just been thinking a lot about Spider-Man.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I want to know what you have to say about Spider-Man. But it sounds like you're talking about the lizard guy.
I was, in fact, talking about the lizard guy in Spider-Man. But, you know, there's always the guy that's like... you know, lizards, you cut their tail off and they grow back. Or like starfish, they grow back.
Yeah, you can cut them in half and there's two starfish then.
Yeah, and then they're like, we're just going to splice that DNA up with a human. Nothing can go wrong.
That's how lizard guy came about.
And then we have lizard guy.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Sure. That's actually not how lizard guy happened.
Is it not?
Lizard guy took a serum that he
Oh,
made.
A serum.
Lizard guy injected himself with a serum. Mm. He was a crazy scientist.
Because he wasn't ready to accept that we can heal ourselves. Am I right?
Well, he hadn't heard the pod yet. And that, by the way, is why this pod is essential listening.
We're trying to save lizard men from existence.
And this episode should be titled Essential Listening. The first episode is going to be called Fascinating, and you can cut this out.
No, I'm not. You think I'm cutting
it? And this episode should be called Essential Listening.
Yeah.
I think it is. I don't think we're lying to these people.
No. Essential to me.
I feel like it's essential.
Did we get to the ways you emotionally hurt yourself?
Well, first want to talk about your physical injuries, Maria.
Oh, of course.
What are your physical injuries that you've sustained this fortnight?
Glad you asked. During the fortnight. So I've been trying to do yoga for the first time in my life, just the past couple of months.
Nice.
And it's very new to me. I feel very intimidated by like athletic stuff. And I know that you were a sporty gal, but I was not.
I am a sporty gal. I was. I'm no longer an athlete, but the muscle memory of an athlete.
It remains.
We digress.
So I still feel, I'm still in like a dumb middle school mindset where I'm scared of people who are good at gym. And that's stupid.
Because that's an adult. You in a locker?
They didn't put, like physically didn't put me in a locker, but yeah, like that's the feeling it would give
me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So in my head, I've still been scared of like the gym and like working out for a long time. So I'm trying to get better. Because the old body needs it.
Oh my god.
And yoga, I felt intimidated by it at first, but I've been going to these yoga classes, and it's so nice. It's lovely. I love it.
I love yoga is great physically and mentally.
Yeah. I feel like I'm on drugs afterwards. Like, I feel high. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. I don't like workout classes because they yell at me.
Oh.
I don't like
it. I don't think they're supposed to do that.
Well, they do, dude. You go to a cycling class, they're like, push it harder, harder, feel the burn, heart, keep going. And they're always noticing that I'm mailing it in, and they're always hyper-focusing on me because I'm not going to go fast. I don't care, and screw you. Yeah. And then it causes them to look at me more. And anyways, what I love about yoga is no one's yelling at me
Nobody
in yoga
else.
And right. Everyone's like, make yoga your journey. Do it how you want to do it. Like, you can't do it wrong.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. They're very supportive and like, do what feels good. Find your breath.
So right.
But I do get sore because I'm using these muscles that I have not used literally in like 20 years. Mm-hmm. So my body will hurt for the next couple of days, even though I'm glad I went and I feel good.
Yeah.
So that's my physical injury, because I'm going to be a little sore.
Because you're doing yoga, girl.
Because I'm doing yoga. I also scraped my foot a little bit.
I'm seeing that.
Sorry, that's kind of gross.
No, you're halfway Wolverine-ing it.
That's true. Give me a week, baby.
Yeah, right. And you're halfway there. It's already scabbing, so.
I don't know how I did that.
You're on your way.
I went swimming when I was home a couple of times, and I think I might have scraped it like outside on the concrete or something.
Oh, not in the pool.
Probably not in the pool.
Sometimes I swim with such reckless abandon that I forget that there's walls all around me in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I will scrape my... Excuse me. I just burped a little bit. I know Maria probably hated that.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm always scraping myself in a pool in life, just around.
Do you feel like the walls that always surround you in the pool represent... Is this being too much a parody of myself?
No, finish that question, though.
That's like, all. No, you know where it's going.
I do know
it exactly represents where it's the going. Other walls.
And yes. Mm. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I don't think it would hurt for me to be more aware of my surroundings. We mentioned this on the walk over here, that we don't know where we are most of the time.
No.
Physically, literally in the moment.
Yeah.
Also, large, big picture, I don't know where I am or where I'm going really, but I find comfort in that.
Okay.
Like somebody asked me the other day, what's your 10-year plan? And I was like, I can honestly say I do not have one.
Yeah.
There is no specific direction that I'm like, blinders on, I gotta get there. I'm just like, I am truly taking every day as it comes in the moment, and I'm not stressing about setting a goal that make, because have you heard of the phrase, you make plans and then God laughs?
I have. The one I think of is, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. But I think it's the same idea.
Yeah, right. If you make plans, life is gonna be like, hey, this is actually...
That's cute that you thought that.
Oh, you thought you could have a plan.
That's adorable.
You human thought, oh, I'm gonna make a plan, and what I want is more powerful than life in the universe. It's like, no.
No.
Dude, I remember I had so many plans in February 2020.
Fuck, dude.
Beginning of March 2020, I had so many plans.
Mm.
The amount of plans.
Sounds like you had a lot.
2 years.
Yeah.
Lockdown happened. Right? It was 2 years of lockdown. Can't believe it. It was 5 years ago that it started.
Woof.
It's been 5 years. I took restaurants for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, it was always... Same. Have you heard that joke that it's like white people's entire culture is going to restaurants? Like, that's no, all we have.
That's real.
But that's literally my whole childhood. That was what we had. That was our ritual. We'd go to California Pizza Kitchen.
Yum.
And like, that's what we would do. And I took that for granted as just like a normal part of life. And then it was like, oh, you're not going to go to a restaurant? Oh, and restaurants will never be the same. There's all these people going like, restaurants will never be the same. I don't know if they're still never the same. I feel now like restaurants are back.
The big thing that changed that hasn't been fixed everywhere is the QR codes, and I don't care for those.
I miss menus.
Give me a menu.
I don't want to look at my phone more.
No, I want to flip through something.
I want to...
Give me a tactile...
Yes.
Tactile, right?
Yes, tactile.
Give me a tactile experience, damn it.
And let me not look at a screen for a second
Five seconds.
I don't have to,
yeah.
You know? Like... Waiters, and I understand, no waiter wants another job. So they're probably like happy that the QR codes exist because now they don't have to be like bringing out the menus and doing that extra thing and then taking the menus back or whatever.
Mm.
But I am sometimes going to be the guy that goes, I'm sorry, do you guys have a physical menu? I love that.
I love it.
I feel like it's rude to ask any service industry professional
for anything.
For anything.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting paid enough. Mm. Just period. Mm-hmm. Like, we're lucky they show up. Honestly, they definitely are not paid enough hourly to give us any kind of emotional labor, you know? Like, I think, like, sometimes people have this expectation that the server should be nice to you.
You don't think so?
I think they should show up exactly how they feel. And if they want to give us sass, that's
fine.
Where they're at today.
Come as you are.
Here at the Interior Report. That's how we feel. Was that you should come as you are.
What about emotional?
I know.
Is it time?
I'm ready.
Is it
well,
time? You're ready?
Do you have an emotional injury that you want to share?
I do.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so here's mine. Here's my emotional injury. This is how we emotionally hurt ourselves in the last fortnight. So do you know the actor Lee Pace?
Yes.
Love.
Hot. So hot.
Probably the hottest man I've ever seen.
I think I know where this is going.
That I'm in love with him?
Yeah.
That's actually not the end of
it. Oh, no!
But sure, I mean, sure, that's painful.
Yeah.
And it's a pain I'm going to have to live with forever, like we all do. We all wake up, except for one person on Earth, to my knowledge, who is his husband. We all wake up with the knowledge
Lee
Pace does not love us.
We're not
going to
be with Lee Pace.
And it's painful. I'm not going to pretend it's not, Amelia. It hurts. But I watched, he's on a show on Apple TV called Foundation. And it's a sci-fi series. I don't know if you are a fan of sci-fi.
I don't, I'm not like, whoa, a sci-fi, I gotta see it. But mm-hmm. If it's a good sci-fi show, I will watch it.
Yeah, kind of same.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily always my number one thing. I started watching it for Lee Pace, but then I got really into it. I actually really like it.
Outside of Lee. And by the way, Maria,
yes.
That's how you can live your whole life.
No, it doesn't feel
you,
like
no,
it.
No.
It doesn't feel like
you
it.
You can live your whole life going, I loved Lee Pace and he was my reason. But now I actually like life outside of Lee Pace as well.
In terms of the wall, the pool walls around me, I am allowed to step outside them away from Lee Pace.
Away. from Lee. Pigs. A Lee is a word I learned through the crossword, and that's actually when you're, like, outside of stuff.
How's it spelled?
A-L-E-E.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's lovely. I like that.
Yeah.
Lovely Lee.
Mm.
So this show isn't necessarily, like, scary, but I get scared really easily.
Mm-hmm.
And sensitive to things. And if I watch something with a lot of violence before bed, I have nightmares, so I tend to not do that. And then it goes on long enough that I forget my original reason for why I don't watch something like that before bed. So I was watching it, this was a couple days ago, I watched it before bed and fell asleep watching it, and then I had all these nightmares about exactly what was happening in the show. Like, I was dreaming that, like, these guys from the government were chasing me, and there was all this, like, espionage and, like, gun violence around me and yes. shit. And I woke up, like, like, freaking out, and I was like, oh yeah, I had a nightmare because of that show I was watching.
But you were so invested in the show, you forgot the repercussions. I forgot the rules.
Exactly. So it's a great show, but I did injure myself, I would
say. It's so good, a good of a show. You forget all your rules about yourself.
Mm.
Reckless abandon, you watch Foundation. What's it about?
I'm so glad you asked. It's based on a novel series, but I think I read that the novels are fairly different from the TV show. It's basically telling a really long story that's about, I would say it has scoops of Star Wars and scoops of Game of Thrones in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about this, they're telling a very long intergalactic story about, like, the rise and fall of governments.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you're focusing on some individual characters, but for the most part, you're learning about, like, civilizations. You're like, this planet cool. had to fall so that this thing could happen. This planet has all this, like, chaos, and, like, we're trying to get back to the golden times when there was less chaos. Like, it's about that.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Well, what's it on? What's it streaming on?
Apple TV.
I keep hearing about Apple TV shows, and I don't have Apple TV.
I borrow my brother's.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, you gotta watch Severance, and you gotta watch Foundation, in my opinion. Go ahead, sorry.
I do have to watch Severance.
Fantastic show. The coolest thing about Foundation is, like, the ruler, this isn't a spoiler, this is something you find out right away, but the ruler of this empire is a clone, and so there's three of him. There's the oldest version of this clone, Brother Dusk, then the guy in his prime, Day,
yeah.
and then there's, like, a little kid version, Brother Dawn.
Uh-huh.
So there's this ruler they had, like, 4 centuries ago, and they just keep cloning him every, like, I don't know if it's, like, 30 or 40 years apart.
Yeah.
And so then you have 3 different ages of this guy ruling the empire. It's really interesting. So then Lee Pace is the middle guy. So he is playing a character, and then, like, in the next episode, it might be 100 years later. And so Lee Pace is still in it, but he's playing a different guy.
Yeah.
Because that Lee Pace that you saw before is now the old man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Oh, okay. I may, now that I'm hearing about Severance and Foundation.
Yeah.
May just have to cough up the $14.99 a month.
Oh, that's too high. That's ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah.
No, but by the way, it might just be 1 month. I might just binge both of them real fast.
You could.
So this, yeah. It's not like $14.99 my whole life. I'll just sign up, binge it real fast, get it out of the way.
Sure. Great plan. I would love to hear about your emotional injuries, though.
Well, okay. This is like a physical injury that is born out of emotional insecurities.
Okay.
I feel insecure about asking for anything from anyone.
Okay.
Even if it's like, give me 5 minutes to run to the restroom before we go to the next location. And they'll just, like, need to go to a restroom and just be holding it and going, like, well, no one knows that I'm in this physical discomfort.
I think what is helpful for me with stuff like that is, like, the people that love you want you to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, the people you're hanging out with that night probably want you to feel good.
Right, right. But then you would have to, on some level, trust that they do love you.
We can't do that.
You see the whole world is against you in some way, then it's like, I gotta always be.
I gotta never
maybe
be.
Maybe burden it all. Oh, these people wanna, you know, like, who, last night I was at a bar with a friend, and I, like, there was one available stool at the bar, and I love to sit down, okay? And we walk up to them, and I'm like, please, you sit. And they go, no, you sit. I prefer standing. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to receive this. I was like, I said to them, I was like, I'm going to receive this stool. Because it didn't feel right. And I really was like, you should sit in this stool. But they were literally saying, no, I like to stand.
Yeah.
And even someone telling me sit in the stool, I like to stand. I'm still like, but I like to sit. So you should be sitting because I think sitting is better. So I think you should be sitting because I feel uncomfortable sitting while you're standing because I know how much I like to sit. So
obviously you should too,
because that's what I like. So I got to, you know, I mean, like, but I did. I was like, okay. And I said it tongue in cheek too, but like literally I was like, okay, I'm going to receive this.
I'm going to let you let me sit down. Right. Even though it feels like against what I should be doing.
My religion.
I'm surprised. I'm always surprised you're from California because that is such a Midwestern thought pattern to have.
Well, but both my parents are Midwestern.
There you go. That's what it is. So they still taught you the values.
Yeah, right.
They still taught you the culture.
Right. It's like you can take the Midwest. You can take the person out of the Midwest.
You can take the Barrasses out of the Midwest, but you cannot take the Midwest out of the Barrasses.
Yeah, because, you know, my parents were LA transplants, you know, who raised two Angelinos, you know, but with Midwest values still.
The perfect woman, like, if you ask me. That's what I want.
Like, my dad's from Cleveland. My mom's from Chicago. Mm. You know, they met in Chicago, went over to LA, you know. I did not ever like that town, LA. For my personal reasons, you know, other people are totally allowed. I'm at the point now of healing where I'm like, everybody else is allowed to like that city. It's okay that I didn't like it. And that's my experience. And other people can like Los Angeles.
And do you want to know why you were so good at healing that? Because you're Wolverine.
And that's a callback, ladies and gentlemen.
I guess we shouldn't keep plugging our Instagrams at the end every week because
people do that every time on their podcast. Don't they always plug themselves again?
I guess they do. You can find us on Instagram.
You can find us on Instagram. Mine is at Emilia.Barras. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to spell it out every time.
Okay.
On the first episode, that's a special episode where I spell out my name. I mean, I do have a strange spelling. I mean, not strange, but just, you know, not standard spelling of both Emilia, and then nobody knows how to spell my last name. Mm-hmm. And my last name is spelled not how it looks, okay? Mm-hmm. It is a French spelling, and French have too many consonants in all their words.
They love them.
Excessive. And so I'm not going to walk y'all through the spelling of my first and last name every time. You know, either you find me on the gram or you don't. And either way, it's okay.
Either way, it's fine.
So I'm at Emilia.Barras, and then Maria.
I am at Maria.Block. And then we probably also have a pod Instagram.
Right, which we don't have right now.
But we will make
before we drop these episodes for y'all.
Yep.
So by the time of droppage, we will have a Instagram handle, which we will not have shared in the episodes because we don't have it now.
Right.
But we will have them in the episode notes.
Yeah. Also, again, it's probably how they found the show in the first place.
Absolutely. So you guys probably already know that. No need for us to. And by the way, Maria.
Yes, Amelia.
We can include our personal Instagram handles in the bio of the Instagram, the show's Instagram.
Oh, big time, for sure. That's what Casey and I do for our two prop group.
Caseria. Okay. I've been reading it as Caseria this whole time. And either way, you won't be hearing our show's Instagram handle because it doesn't exist yet.
Because it doesn't exist.
I do think it should probably be at Injury Report Pod.
As long as it's not taken.
No one would have this. Oh, it's, the idea is too incredible.
Too good.
Too unique. No one's ever done a podcast called The Injury Report before. I don't believe it's
happened.
I
did look it up a little bit.
No. Did research for this show? I thought that was our number one.
No, I researched about the outside world, but just about our project.
Okay, sure. And you didn't do it during filming, recording.
Which is the hard and fast. There are some, like, on the podcast app I use, there's some when you type in injury report, but it's old things that made like two or three episodes. It's okay. Not anything substantial.
So you're telling me it has been done before. You're telling me not I had an idea like that someone else has had.
Not like this.
We're doing it different.
Yeah.
We're thinking different. Mm. Apple.
I'm thinking Arby's. That's all for the issue.
Wait, Arby's has Think Different as their slogan?
No, I'm thinking Arby's is the slogan. Oh,
that makes more sense than Think Different for Arby's.
Yeah.
Think Different. Have something disgusting to say. Okay, you get, yeah. We're going to cut Arby's here at the end there.
Bye.
Okay, bye, guys. Stay safe.